It is my pleasure to introduce to you Kristen Hawkins, President of Students for Life. Her topic is Success in the Next Generation, Why Our Youth Will Change the Pro-Life Debate.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here today. You know, it was early in the morning, but Sophie, her brother Hans, and their good friend Christoph, they met on campus, and they had a plan to distribute their leaflets before school and classes would start that day. Moments later, the three Christian kids had been arrested, and they were carted off campus. 2 days later, moments before being sentenced to death, the 22-year-old Sophie Scholl, the leader of the Nazi resistance movement, the White Rose, asked if she could speak to the judge. And she told her judge, "Somebody, after all, had to make a start. What we wrote and what we said is also believed by many others. They just don't dare express themselves as we did." Today, ladies and gentlemen, this symposium has been designed to inspire, teach, and to activate you to make your start right here in Cleveland to change our nation. So you can make your start to bring our nation back to life. And what I'm going to talk to you about today, and what I'm going to ask you to do, will not carry the risk of death as what Sophie, Hans, and Christoph had to face. But I would ask you to treat it that solemnly. Because what we are speaking about today are the lives of our preborn brothers and sisters and their mothers and their fathers. And we know we are going to see success in this generation. We have to start now. 41 years ago, 7 men in the Supreme Court sided with an unknown 27-year-old post-abortive lawyer named Sarah Whittington. And they decided in favor of her case, Roe v. Wade. And along with her case and its companion, Doe v. Bolton, they legalized abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy for whatever reason in our nation. For whatever reason. Friends, this afternoon, this 27-year-old, yes, I'm that old, this 27-year-old is here to say that the time has come for our nation to rise up and say we will abolish abortion and we will do it in our lifetime. And with our Lord and Savior, it is possible. The undeniable fact is that a third of my generation is missing here today. 55 million preborn baby girls and baby boys have been snuffed out of existence. Children who, just like you and I, are intrinsically valuable because we were made in the image of our Creator. Children just like you and I. Because their mothers were deceived. Their mothers were deceived and told that they couldn't keep their baby and continue their education. They couldn't keep their baby and provide for their family. They couldn't keep their baby and keep their relationships together. You see, Miss Weddington's generation got it wrong. In an attempt to fix what they saw as discrimination in our society against women, they set into motion the most ultimate form of discrimination our world has ever known. Abortion. And 41 years later, what they have done is they have pitted the mother against her child. But our generation, this generation of young people, is committed more than ever to abolishing abortion. And I hope you guys can see it today. I hope you've been seeing it in the news media, because the tide is turning in our country. Things are changing. This is the most pro-life youth generation since 1973. my generation is more pro-life than our parents' generation. You see, some of us old folks were born in the 1980s during the big hair bands. Some of the new folks, like Peter, were born in the 90s or the grunge rock days. We've seen the ultrasounds of our siblings. We know what a baby is like when our moms are pregnant. We've seen it. We've Googled the bloody images. We've seen what abortion really does to a baby. And for many of us, we've sat with a friend as she cried and told us about her abortion experience. And this January, as Star was alluding to earlier, this January, our generation was out there. As we were the predominant participants in the D.C. March for Life and the San Francisco Walk for Life, we were out there with our 25-foot wide We Are the Pro-Life Generation sign. There were hundreds of thousands of young people out there. And what did the news show? The headline in New York Times, now it wasn't a great article, but the headline was the picture, We Are the Pro-Life Generation. And you know, we were out there, and Star's right, we were, it was a cold day in Washington, D.C. How many were there in Washington, D.C.? It was a cold day, folks. We got up at 7 a.m., had all of our signs. I had my bullhorn. Some of you probably heard me. We were passing out our signs, marching up Constitution Avenue, and I couldn't help but wonder, as there were 650,000 people out there, I couldn't help but wonder, what does Planned Parenthood see when they see 600,000 young people walking up Constitution Avenue in the freezing cold? They see their audience slipping away. Amen. In fact, they already have. Nancy Keenan, the former president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, resigned last May. And she said she was resigning because there was an underwhelming list of pro-abortion leaders to choose from. There weren't any young people in her organization to rise up. And so she announced her resignation in May, and they waited till January to appoint a successor for her. This January, I don't know if anyone saw the Time Magazine news cover. I finally got it. It's framed in my office as of this week. The cover read, 40 years ago, abortion rights activists had their ultimate victory. They've been losing ever since. And the week after that, in January, Planned Parenthood came out with a little memo and a new video and said that they were no longer going to use the word pro-choice because it was too associated with the word abortion. And last week, it just keeps getting better. And last week, the new president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, bet Nancy's regretting this one, came out and said that they have to redefine the word choice because it's changed. They've been talking about choice for 41 years, people, and they don't know what to say about it anymore. What are they doing? They're running away from the word abortion because they know when abortion is brought up, they lose. They lose this generation. So, and anybody who knows me knows I'm a bossy person. What are we going to do about that? What is our goal? Our goal is to bring up abortion everywhere we go. Bring it up in every conversation. Be that annoying dork in your workplace. I'm a dork. It's okay. Dorks have fun. I did go to space camp. I will tell you that. Be that annoying person. When they see you coming, they're like, oh, no. Why? Who invited the pro-lifer to dinner? I'm the worst person to invite out. I notice when I go to restaurants now, people start moving away because I talk about religion, politics, and abortion. And, you know, the more and more we talk about this, the more they have to go away because they don't want us to disrupt their nice dinner. But that's who you've been called to be. Because we know when we talk about abortion, we win. For those who are in their teens, in their 20s, and even in your 30s, you have the loudest voice out of them all. Because you are the ones they're after. You see, Planned Parenthood knows abortion, while it is profitable for them, is something they have to run away from. Because human beings were designed from our creation to hate abortion. Every American, even those who go and protest against us, those crazy pro-aborts, that, God love them, they're out in the Supreme Court. They were not fans of mine the day of the march. Even those people know that abortion is tragic and wrong. You don't see a girl who says, hey, I'll be at the party later tonight, I just have to stop by and get my abortion. There's a reason, folks, why we don't talk about abortion in our churches. There's a reason why they vandalize your displays and put condoms on your crosses or spit on you or put giant female genitalia on the University of Cincinnati campus to get back at you. There's a reason for that. And the reason, something we've got to keep very close to our heart, is that a majority of us have been involved with an abortion decision at least once in our lifetime. And we have found ourselves saying, I don't want to do this. This isn't a right decision, but I have no other choice. And we're sick about the choices that we've made. But what I'm asking you to do today is to be courageous. Don't be afraid to tell people what you are against. You know, I am not a smoking advocate. I don't like smoking. I'm like really rude if I'm in the restaurant, there's people smoking. I'm sorry. It's my one liberal stance. And, you know, I was thinking about the smoking campaigns in the 1980s, 90s, because we were indoctrinated with this when we were in school, in elementary school, right? But they weren't pro clean air campaigns. They were anti-smoking campaigns. Smoking will make your lungs look like this. Smoking stinks. They told us what they were against. The slavery abolitionists of the 1800s weren't pro-worker freedom. They were anti-slavery. And my friends, when people tell me we're anti-abortion, I'm okay with that. I'm pro-life, and yes, I am against abortion. It's okay to call yourself an abortion abolitionist, because we hate abortion and we want others to hate abortion because of what it does to our nation, how it takes the most innocent and vulnerable among us, how it degrades, deceives, and harms our women, how it has destroyed our families, and how it's taken a third of our generation away from us. So today we're going to start talking about abortion. We're going to make our start. First, we're going to start by telling our stories. Abortion has affected each and every one of us. Make 2013 the year you tell your story about abortion. You tell people why you're against abortion. People need to know why you're against it. It's not because you're a crazy right-wing Catholic guy. It's because you saw what it did to your sister. Real testimony, real life testimony is the most effective tool we have in this battle. Because I'll tell you what, when I'm on a campus and I'm trying to argue about abortion, debate abortion, somebody will debate me all day long that a fetus is not a human being, which is scientifically, biologically incorrect. They'll argue with me all day. But if I say, but this is how I feel, this is how abortion has made me feel, they have to listen to that. We need to talk about the stories. Step out of the hypothetical situations and go right to the stories. There's a story of Rebecca. She's in our new book we just released. Rebecca was raped by a friend in college. She thought, abortion is my only option. And even though it meant dropping out of school, facing parents who threatened to disown her, becoming a single mom, working and going to school at night, she ended up choosing life for her son because one person said to her, abortion isn't your only option. We need to talk about this generation's survivors. Survivors like Melissa. Melissa was abused physically and emotionally growing up her entire life. One of her earliest memories is her father punching her mother repeatedly in the stomach to induce a miscarriage. She remembers long periods of time of being locked into a closet by her father. And her father telling her he regretted that she was born because she should have been aborted like her three siblings who were all also girls. Stories like Melissa, when she found out at her Catholic high school what abortion was, she knew she had to stand up for her siblings. And even though it meant physical abuse by her father, she started her pro-life group in high school and in college. And today, Melissa works at a very prestigious, the most watched cable news network in all the world. In New York City, I saw her last week and she said, I want to quit and I want to work for you. I'm bored. I want to work with youth who are making a difference and who are going to end abortion. Friends, it's time to start envisioning our world without abortion. Envision our nation without abortion. Can you imagine? Now, football's pretty big in Ohio, right? I'm from West Virginia. I know the answer to that one. Imagine a football coach, the Ohio State football coach, telling his team moments before they go on the field, go ahead, give it your all, guys, but you're going to lose. Do you think that team would win? No. But yet, time and time again, that's what I hear in the pro-life movement. That's what I heard when we tried to start Students for Life. Oh, you're so cute, Kristen. That's so great. Everyone's tried to do this before, but guess what? Youth are really apathetic and it's not going to happen. How can we win if we don't believe it? And you know these people yourself. It could be you, your spouse, your pastor. They believe abortion is evil, but they don't believe it can ever be ended. They have lost their passion, their sense of urgency and resolve to abolish abortion. For those people who are sitting in this room today who are thinking that, my question to you is this. I believe my God can do great and awesome things. Do you? When David faced off against the Goliath, hopefully that's coming up in this week's Bible story, right? Is anybody watching the Bible on the History Channel? I'm hoping that comes up soon. When David faced off against Goliath, what did he have? His faith in a few small stones. Abortion abolitionists should not be afraid to start painting the vision of what our world will look like when abortion is no longer legal. Time and time again, we see this. This generation says abortion is bad. They say they're pro-life, but then when you ask them, should abortion be illegal, they'll say no. Because they're scared. No one's ever talked about what the country will look like without legal abortion. We've always had legal abortion. What will it look like? Friends, it's time for you to start talking about it. I talk about it all the time. I already have my whole career planned out after abortion ends. I'm doing luxury travel planning. Third, it's time to start seeking real social justice with those women and men who are hurting. We must take away the perception that abortion is an option. No woman ever enters an abortion facility skipping in or smiling. She's crying when she walks in. She's looking down. And when she leaves, she looks the same way. Because she's there because she believes she has no one on her side. And that she has no other choice than to abort her child. Just look at the lawsuits here in Ohio against Planned Parenthood. When someone says, well, abortion will solve all these problems. When a young girl was repeatedly taken to a Planned Parenthood for abortions to cover up her father's rape. Abortion didn't solve her problem. It let it continue and continue and continue. Real social justice is about building and seeking relationships with those most hurting. And changing the cycle of their life. Be like Megan. Megan started a pro-life group on her campus a couple years ago. And she had a girl she befriended who came to her and said, I just had my second abortion. I didn't want to, but a woman at my church told me it was the best thing for me. So Megan instantly befriended Jessica, started hanging out with her at lunch, making sure she had time for her. Jessica got pregnant for a third time. And everyone again told her, you've got to have the abortion. Megan set up a group on campus for pregnant and single moms so they can get together, network, learn, and that they could change the course of their lives. Finally, men and women, it's time to start shining the light of truth on Planned Parenthood, the abortion Goliath, and the industry of abortion. Ever hear that tired argument, just give them more money and there'll be less abortions? I have the proof that that's wrong. This January, Planned Parenthood released their annual report. They received $542 million taxpayer dollars last year. Their abortions were at an all-time high of 334,000. Planned Parenthood committed a third of all of our abortions. Our own internal poll at Students for Life shows that 59% of young people don't even know Planned Parenthood does abortions. But when they're told, they go against Planned Parenthood. When Planned Parenthood is stripped of their taxpayer money, when they can no longer support corrupt and dirty politicians in Washington, D.C., you will see the abortion industry begin to crumble domino by domino. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to tell you today is a time for you to make your start and to stand courageously right here in Cleveland. There are so many things that Cleveland Right to Life is already doing. 40 Days for Life, the Minutemen for Life. You can get involved working with young people right out from the abortion facility. You can begin seeking real social justice relationships at the pregnancy resource centers, at the maternity group homes. There is a place for each and every one of you, wherever God is calling you. Be courageous like Julia, who after she learned what abortion was in her high school class, she dedicated her life to ending abortion in Arkansas. Every day, Julia is out there on the sidewalks, handing girls who walk in a card saying, you have another option. Here's my personal cell phone. Julia used to get hate mail from the abortionist there in Fayetteville. The abortionist would actually sit down, handwrite her notes, wishing her death. Julia kept going out there. And despite where it was some very scary situation she texted me or emailed about, she was faithful to what God was calling her to do. And she has been able to hold in her arms the babies she has saved. Be courageous like Sophie, Hans, and Christoph. Be courageous. They took the Nazi party head on and did what their parents failed to do. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the day that God is calling you to rise up. Rise up out of your pews and off your lazy boy chairs and off your couches. Rise up and to commit to making a start to courageously abolishing abortion in our lifetime. We don't know when abortion will be ended in our country. Only He knows that. But we know the truth. We know we've been called to this work to be His hands and feet. And to start living our lives for something greater than ourselves. We know tomorrow And the next day and the next day, there are babies who are scheduled to die and mothers whose heartbreak is certain. I believe this generation of abortion survivors will see an end to abortion in our lifetime. But it will not be easy. We have so much to do, and I need each and every one of you today to commit to making your start. Thank you.
Please enjoy your ovation. We want to thank you. You're very much, very, very much, Kristen, encouraged. Just encouraged the Cleveland Right to Life in this area. We have time for a few questions. We have a time for a few questions. As I've said before, some of the questions relate to each other. They will all be answered on Molly's radio show. But we're going to go through them quickly. We only have time for two. Two of them relate, actually, because one person reminds us that he was kicked off of a Catholic college campus when he led a pro-life group to protest the presence of a pro-abortion speaker stomping for Obama. And so they wanted to know about being threatened on these campuses, but it led to the other question that came in first, which was, how do you explain the youth voting for current President Obama and the increase of youth in the pro-life movement?
That's a good question. Thanks for that hard one. Actually, what's really interesting, if you look at the polling data, the youth voted the same percentage as they did in 2008, the year before that. But Obama actually lost 6% of the youth vote. I don't know if a lot of people, news didn't talk about that. He actually lost 6%. Independents gained 4%, and Republican gained the other 2%. So actually, we did lose votes. It was like 66%, I believe, youth for Obama in 08. It was 60% in 12. One of the biggest challenges we have, especially in the youth pro-life movement, is how, once again, abortion is wrong. I don't like abortion, but I don't know if it should be illegal. This generation was raised in a moral relativism culture. That is our biggest problem we have on college campuses, is yes, it's wrong for me and I think it's wrong, but I can't tell you what's wrong for you. And that makes it very difficult, especially when you have candidates. How do I say this thing? The one candidate didn't never talked about abortion, and he let the other candidate who was pro-abortion make all the claims. So you need a candidate on the Republican side or the other side talking about the abortion issue, engaging people in the abortion issue, raising valid questions so you can take down what the other side's doing. We, you know, we're a very small organization, so as much as we stomp our feet and get out their bullhorns, there's only so much we can do to raise the issue of abortion in national politics. It's got to be driven from the political campaign. So, and youth are historically very liberal. They're liberal on every issue except for abortion and privatized Social Security. Because we know we're never going to be able to retire. And we understand abortion is a human rights issue. Those are the two issues conservatives win youth on.
Okay, and the final question for this session, and you will do the radio program and answer the
rest. Yeah, I can give you all my email if you have specifics too.
Okay, and how can we reach more abortion-minded women, which I'm going to blend into another question that is similar, which says, what would you recommend to write on pro-life signs?
Okay. So reaching abortion-minded women, you need to go where abortion-minded women are. The PRCs, the maternity homes, need to be near the college campuses. They need to be near Sorority Row. They need to be, you know, just follow where Planned Parenthood is and you be there too. They have lots of money they put into marketing consultants, and just go where they're going, because that's where you need to be. You need to be online. I can't emphasize how important it is that we have search engine optimization ads and Facebook ads, because when she's in that moment of crisis, she's going to go to Google and type in abortion. You need to make sure the first thing that she comes up is, there's help. There's help. Call us. Writing pro-life signs, please don't write anything that condemns people. We use the I Am the Pro-Life Generation sign. It's great because I mentioned that one girl wants to quit the nation's largest cable news network. We have our stock footage everywhere. It's always I Am the Pro-Life Generation signs. That's a positive message. It's kind of threatening to pro-aborts because it scares them a little bit. But it's not condemning. We don't ever condemn anyone's signs. We try to keep our message very – stick to one message if you're doing a protest. or doing a prayer vigil, because you need to find out what's the one message you want the news media to take from your event and put down all of your signs. I've seen a lot of pro-life events where we have 50 different signs, and it's really hard to get out what your message is. So before you do an event, find out what your message is. You know, defund Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood's corrupt and dirty, whatever, and make all of your signs similar to that.
Thank you so much. My goodness.
Can I get my email?
Oh, please give
me an email. If there's specific questions, I'm sorry. I'm here signing books, and then I have a Huffington Post thing, and then I have to go back. Okay. So I'll just give you my email address. It's just director@studentsforlife.org, and that goes right to me. So keep it snappy.
Thank you.
Because I have a lot of emails.
Oh, yes, that is true, I think, and we appreciate that.
You have been listening to Kristen Hawkins, President of Students for Life and 2013 Bringing America Back to Life Symposium speaker.